What happens when high school students
decide our topics,
ask our questions,
tell our stories,
find our voices?
It's the Face to Face Podcast.
Welcome back to the Face to Face Podcast. Today I'm joined by Brian.
How's it going?
And my name is Hunter. I'm going to jump right into our topic, which is the cultural development of music. Now, this is going to be basically like a expansion of our rock episode, but like more just like music in general.
Sure.
So, with the first question, I guess the most basic one is like, what was the first musical instrument, like historically?
Oh, historically. Ooh, and it depends on, you know, because of the earth is pretty big. So there's different regions, obviously. And a lot of the times the music was made from like whatever they could find. They would make noises basically by accident and then realize that makes a sound that I like, right? And I know in some areas it's, you know, stringed instruments that they created with parts of animal, you know, and then drums obviously is a very easy one. I mean, I'm very much a tapper. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm constantly got like a drum song going. But there are people who, I'm not alone in that, there are people who just, they feel beat and they want to make that noise. So naturally, drumming or any type of drums was something they did make. And they still kind of do. There are drums made with actual real animal that they make it. That's what they take it from. And they makes kind of a drum, you know, they take the skin. And then there's, I know some stringed instruments, because a lot of them, sometimes those come from animal as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously flute, you know, any type of like, not a horn, like a brass horn, but you know, those have evolved. So they had things that you would blow into that would make noise when it came out. Now, again, bones, sticks, you know, that they would somehow have a hole in, you know, and then they'd make noise through them. So like a wind instrument, I
woodwind.
Suppose. Woodwind. Well, if it's not wood, yeah, but like a woodwind, yeah. Definitely those are like the first things that would probably come to mind that definitely happen, you know. And obviously they've evolved. You got to go way back. I mean, who knows when the first one was? They've gotten artifacts that are way back. I mean, good 1,000 years for sure. You know, there is instruments. I've been to a museum that had some real archaeological music instruments, and it was way back. I want to say not BC per se, but they thought it might be some kind of instrument, and it was like quite a long time ago. Mm. So I'm sure humans in general, even though they've evolved, music is always, you know, it was there. I'm sure they made noises and they just wanted to keep doing it.
In the beginning, you said like different like regions of the earth and all that.
Sure.
Yeah. So like, I kind of want to talk more about like the, kind of like the similarities where like, it's kind of strange that in like somewhere like, you know, the Far East to like, you know, the pre-Columbian West, like, you know, like drums and then like you said, like string instruments, like how it's pretty similar, like how like that, like, you know, that whole, like this makes a noise I like and all that. So like, I kind of want to like, do you know any like specific examples maybe of like, you know, and here they have a very similar instrument from there.
Especially what we said, I think the woodwind ones for sure, or drums for sure, that they, you know, obviously the continents didn't have as much travel as they do today. Like, clearly we can go someplace very quickly without even actually leaving our house, for that matter. But back then, it was hard to move from place to place, very far, that is. But it's interesting, they've found things in the ground that are very similar to each other, and it's funny how humans are. They're very similar. Like, I would say the drum things for sure and the wind instruments for sure that are very similar, like, and probably came from the same realization that these make noises when I hit them. The strings were much later. Like, that was definitely a later thing. But, you know, there was a documentary where I think it was it Buddy Guy, I think it was saying, like, he used to play off of just a, and I've seen other people do this, where it was just a nail and a wire. That's it. And it made noise. And he would do that.
Like they tied the...
He just tied a wire in it to a nail and he would strum it. It was on the wall, right? And this isn't that long ago. This is pre-rock. This is blues, you know, and he was a kid. I mean, Buddy Guy's got to be 90 now. I mean, it was a long time ago. And that's what his first... That was his first realization of, like, this makes noise, you know, and he just liked doing it. So that tells you that it's not... I mean... Even something like that, like, they just, by accident, I don't know if you remember, I know in my generation, because Star Wars was, you know, 70s, 80s, but power lines have these like wires, these cable wires. If you hit it, it would sound just like lasers firing in the movie. Well, guess what? That's exactly how what they used. Like, it's interesting when you make a noise of something that's so unnatural. It's like, whoa, what is that noise? You know, I guarantee you that that's what civilizations did. And they just, I think the environments were what caused you or what you did with animals or stones or trees, you know, anything that would make a noise. And then somebody, that's pleasing. I'm going to keep doing that. You know, so it just naturally happened. It's amazing that we've come this far and like we actually have instruments the way we do and that we're just talking into a microphone and it, you know, you can record someone's voice, you know. It's quite amazing that it's not really that long ago when you really think about it.
You also said something about like how we can, you know, from modern day, like here to there is not as far as it used to be.
No.
Yeah. And how like back then sharing like ideas and like instruments in general was like kind of like rarer than it is now. Do you know any like specific instances of like one people's ideas and instruments went to another culture and it kind of created something new?
Sure. I think just knowing a little bit about Western civilization, how it moved, you know, as soon as they were able to move by boat, they could travel quicker. And that really opened the whole earth up, you know, from finding continents like our own continent, like North America for that matter, you know. So like when they would take instruments with them for sure. And also when they'd go places, let's say Africa isn't too far from Europe. It's not like that was so far away. They definitely were in Africa and Europe is like, and then you have, you know, Asia. You don't need a boat to get to those places. You actually can migrate to there. But like South America and North America, you definitely need a boat. Australia, stuff like that, right? But when they would go to these places, maybe even try to colonize or just discover areas, they would bring instruments with, and then they would find instruments from people who had them already too. And I guarantee you that that then shifted and moved back home. And so then you'd have this influence back in Europe when they'd get back, and maybe they went to South America, and maybe they were in Africa, maybe lower Africa, you know, and came back, or even Asia, and they got this, hey, look at this instrument, you know, this noise that is made from this primitive flute of some sort. Or they definitely did that. There's no doubt that those things carried, when they would go places, they definitely were putting an influence either by showing up or even when they went back with whatever they had.
You know, I don't want to sound like, oh, I took a da-da-da-da-da in high school, but like I did take a history AP class in high school. And one of the like main subjects was, it was music and just, you know, really just art in general. And like, apparently a lot of art and music wasn't like how it is today, where it's been like kind of, you can like make music about like anything really. Apparently it was much more like specifically around the church.
Well,
so,
well, the church had a huge influence on everything for sure. Yeah. Like not even just art, but yes, they definitely had an impact on art and where it could go, which is why you have different periods of art. Some were the artist just kind of said F you to the system and want to do something different. I don't care what you guys want us to do. I'm going to do it. And, you know, and sometimes it costs them their lives in some cases. They definitely had a stranglehold on, you know, society for sure. I mean, it is a little different now, although it's still, some would say that it has an influence, you know, religion can have an influence on.
Like gospel music?
Well, like gospel music is, yeah, it's definitely church derived. Definitely where it comes from. But the sounds or the way the melodies are and things like that, those are there. You know, you can use those other places and they definitely do. It's just the words, what they were saying or singing for that matter, was more religious like. Absolutely. But the music, I've seen plenty of people, you know, turn a song into a metal song or a metal song vice versa, you know, for example. Like it's the same song. You know, what show was I watching? The new season of Fargo, I just started watching, and the song they had was a Jimi Hendrix song. And I'm hearing it, and I can still tell it's a Jimi Hendrix song, but it is nothing like his version.
Was it like instrumentally it was different?
Very much so, yeah. The words were still there, but they were done slower. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know this song, because I knew the lyrics too, but which is rare for me. But I could also sense the song. Now, I'm pretty good at that. I can hear a song and like, oh, I know what that is. And I've seen that in shows before too, where they've done songs that I really, really knew. And I'm like, God, I know this. But it's not the song. Like somebody else is doing it completely different, right? And you would actually think it maybe was like a hymn from a church in some cases. And you're like, but I still feel the melody of this one song. And then you're like, oh yeah, that's it. I got it. So for sure, the church had influence. Any religion, a lot of religions did. They had influence on music for sure. And then how, but it's more to do with what the words that are being said. The melodies kind of go on forever. And that is the art part of it, really, in my opinion. That's my part of music that I like the most, you know. I'm more like that. I'm not, the writing side of it is cool. It's just not my thing.
You know, in the past, like a lot of art and music was just like kind of make like church going and religion like a little bit more beautiful. Mm-hmm. So with that like change happening, what do you think music's cultural purpose is in like the modern day?
You could debate all day what modern music is, mm-hmm. right? But we could just say modern day music, like right now, what is the purpose, right? General purpose of it? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Well, in my opinion, I mean, music has been around a long time. Like I said, in the very rudimentary forms, whether it's just noises. Nowadays, obviously, there's different genres, lots of different genres, right? I think it's still the same, ultimately the same purpose, which is it's entertaining. It feels good, right? I think just like when I was saying, like when they found a sound and they wanted to keep doing it, you know, it was more that it was pleasing, right? Something goes on in your brain when you hear a song anyways, you know, whether you like it or hate it, right? Your brain is doing something when it hears it. It's hearing, it's taking senses and taking it, your body takes it in. It's, you know, one of the amazing things of the human brain, right? I would say modern day music still does the same thing that it always did. It's a form of entertainment. What makes you happy, sad, glad.
So like its purpose is like create like an emotional attachment with the listener.
That too, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess I didn't notice that, but what I am saying is that it's, you're right, it's definitely an emotional attachment. Music definitely provides that, and it doesn't for some people. Some people do not have that. They just don't. They hear a noise. That's what they, you know, they just hear a noise. They don't have any emotional feel or any tie-in to any music. I mean, there's definitely people who are like that, just like there's people who are just really, like they have over-the-top emotional feelings with music. Generally, artists do have that, and they keep creating it, right? They're creators, but they're also feeling it. There's so many instances of how songs are just formed because of that, because of an emotional feeling, you know what I mean?
I would even say that, like, we're kind of developing to have a dependency on it, because, like, for, like, you know, one of the biggest streaming platforms for music, Spotify, at the end of each year, they would have something called a Spotify wrap-up or Wrapped, where it's just like a lot of stats about like, you know, your listening habits, how long you've listened, stuff like that. But they also release some more like general population statistics. And one of them was talking about like Gen Z's listening habits and how compared to like other generations, the amount listened to, the jump is like almost like astronomical. So like definitely with like the emotional attachments, because like we're kind of not exactly in the best of eras for happiness in general, like after the
pandemic will do that to you.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Isolation. Those things will do that. Yes, you're right.
I think we're all like kind of, you know, grasping at like some type of like emotional attachment. And I think like music has, from like, you know, the blues and stuff like that, it's like it's always been like one of the best forms of like releasing emotional energy in some way.
A lot of good music has come out of tragedy. That's mm-hmm. what I think you're going there, where it's like not great, but we got music. And one would even say that we probably haven't seen the best of what, you know, with a pandemic and with people being isolated and how the world kind of was crazy for a bit. I don't even think we've seen all the good music yet from that. I mean, generally something like that would happen and you'd have a lot of these artists who come out with good stuff. And there are some, I'm not saying that none did. There's straight up bands or artists who have said, created this while I was sitting in my house, you know, so nobody could go anywhere and this is what I created, you know, and sometimes it's good stuff. It depends. I mean, it's all opinionated, of course. But it's funny that I was going to go back to the Spotify thing. I absolutely agree that it's definitely, that's just technology though. That's really what you're talking about. And technology definitely has changed instruments, has changed music, the way it sounds, the way, I mean, that's just technology, right? When you have all these stats, this is now becoming one of my most annoying times of the year, actually, because I'm not a Spotify person or anything like that. I'm still old school. I like albums. I like CDs. I still like radio, but I know, you know, I'm old, you know, and I get that Gen Z does not do that. You guys barely listen to a whole song, or you certainly don't it's really not in this generation to listen to like a full album in its entirety. I mean, I just watch what students do when they want to listen to music. 3-4 minutes go by, moving on to another one. Totally different. You know, maybe it'll be the same artist, but they move on to something else. Where, you know, I like shuffles. I don't mind that, but I listen to the album in my car. That's what I do, you know, and if I will listen to the radio. And so these little stats, and I have friends, you know, same age as me who do listen to Spotify. It's not just a new generation. I get annoyed with that. Like, I want to listen to the music I want to listen to, how I want to do it. If I wanted to do that, I would just turn on the radio, you know, but I understand also why they don't, because then like Spotify doesn't have all those commercials. You don't have to deal with a DJ. You just get music, straight up music, and those stats are good, and some people love that stuff. I just don't know why people post it and tell me, great, good for you. You know, we're happy for you. Yeah.
That's actually kind of funny because, like, the Spotify rap thing,
yeah,
it has, like, your top five songs, but, like,
it's now becoming a holiday because, I mean, yesterday was crazy. It was, like, how many people I saw with their stats. I'm like, good for you. Anyways, I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, it's fine, but, like...
You did have a point. I'm sorry.
Like, the... it shows... top five songs, but not top five albums. It shows, sure, top five, yeah, oh,
yeah,
artists.
Yeah, artists.
All that, exactly, stuff. But like,
there was
not,
that, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not like albums. No. That's a lost, kind of a lost art. The only bands that really do albums still in like the old format are bands who grew up in that kind of generation. I mean,
a lot of EPs.
Yeah, and EPs were great, you know. I actually like EPs sometimes. I mean, they are short. I mean, that's they are, but they're kind of cool, actually. I mean, I have a few. I mean, I like live music better, but
yeah,
when you're in a live situation like that, you can't, well, you can do whatever you want. I shouldn't say that. It's live, right? But albums are still my favorite, just because I think bands, especially the older bands that still do it, they handpick the songs on they're purposeful of what they're doing, and they're actually supposed to spur an emotion starting here and sometimes ending here, or, you know, going up and down like a roller coaster. They do that stuff on purpose, and so that's what I've always liked, and I guess... It's become a lost art for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like intentional or I'm just like weird about it, but like sometimes I feel like it's like purposely done where like one song is like the best song on the album and like the rest are just kind of filler. Yeah. I don't know if that's just like me, but like some new artists, I get that feeling.
I've seen a lot of documentaries about making of albums, and you can see the process, and sometimes they have a song that's just, it's a song. You know, and sometimes they don't know what it's going to be. Even sometimes they'll have a hit, and there's usually a producer and somebody else that goes, that's the hit, that's the hook, they got it, right? And then they just know. Then they got to fill up the time. They got to do something. And plus, they got this creativity they're just doing, so they're just making stuff. You'll often get these, like, they'll sometimes do a B-side album fill. I've seen bands I've got some of those albums where there was just songs that never made it to an album, but they made the music. I mean, they made this song, so... There are definitely filler songs. Sometimes those are my favorite. I'm a big B-side guy. I'm definitely weird like that. I often like the songs that aren't on the radio, so to speak, or overplayed. Definitely a B-side guy, which is different. And you know where that comes from, right?
B-side?
B-side, what that means?
Just the other side of the cassette? Or
other side of the record. Oh, the record. Like, okay. When they had singles, there was a B-side. There was... the single, and then the other side had, like, you know, a song that they were doing. Sometimes that B-side was really good, but for radio guys, they would maybe sometimes play a B-side, and sometimes that would become a hit every once in a while. You know, so they just call it B-sides. They don't really, clearly, that is a different generation, a different technology, right? It's all about the technology. They don't have B-sides, so to speak. So now they just say anything that's not a hit.
How albums are set on Spotify is that it used to have like disc one, disc two, but like now it's straight up just like a list of songs. And then like at the bottom, it just says like, you know, an hour 40.
Sure.
Like listening throughout the entire thing.
That's what I thought too. Yeah. I thought that's just how they do it.
But there's not really a A side, B side anymore. It's just a list. And then you pick what you like.
Again, that's why the only bands that really do like real albums are the older bands. The ones who grew up with it or grew up doing it, and that's just their style. I think Greta Van Fleet would be a band that I have actual albums of. Now, I would be curious to find out if they actually tried to do it the old way. Like, were they trying to put them in order, a certain order, so you could listen to it that way? Because it feels like they did. But they seem like old souls, in a sense. Like, their music is, like, 70s rock.
People say they're a rip-off of Led Zeppelin, which... Yeah.
They love that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll take a rip off of Zeppelin any day.
I think rip off.
I mean, if you're going to pick a band, pick a good one. I mean, it's better than them saying, like, you know, well, you know, they're ripping off a, I don't know, Oingo Boingo or something. Although somebody's going to be mad that I said that, because
somebody's going to be
some
mad
people love
no
Oingo Boingo,
said.
But there's, like, I'm trying to think of a band that's not, I'm sure I could throw something out there, but if you're going to pick one that you've ripped off, at least it's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I've always thought. So I'll take that music any day.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but is there anything you want to add before we sign off?
No, it's been a lovely time. I will talk about this for hours. Sadly, we don't have hours, but we'll have to do a part two, maybe.
I would love a part two.
Yeah, especially well before you graduate. Let's do a part two to this, or you know, maybe evolve it, because I'm sure there's questions you didn't get to ask. So.
Sure. But, yeah.
No, it's been great.
Anywho, this has been the Face to Face podcast, and thank you for listening.